Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully to God's word. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We are considering this morning the centrality of Christ in heart and in conduct, in heart and behavior. And thinking about the terms heart and behavior themselves, we are reflecting upon the great principle that true Christian living is first a matter of one's inward relationship, and then consequently his outward behavior. That is to say, if one's inward relationship, especially with God, his vertical relationship with God, is not right, then his horizontal relationship with people, with the world around him, will not be right. This principle, heart first, behavior second, is suggested by the very pattern of the text we are considering this morning. Colossians 3:1-11. In verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul deals with the inward relationship, the heart relationship, or if you please, a doctrinal concern of the Apostle Paul. And then in verses 5 through 11, he deals with the outward relationship, the behavior, or the application of the doctrine. Now, if you will follow that pattern throughout the writings of Paul, you will generally, more or less, have the pattern for understanding the letters of Paul. Namely, Paul always approaches matters from a theological or doctrinal standpoint first, And then he will move to the application. And in verses 1 through 4 of Colossians 3, he sets out his theological belief structure, his doctrine, and then in 5 through 11, he sets out the application of what he's just said. It's like the Reverend Samuel Chadwick said one time when he was reading some very hard material to understand from the Apostle Paul. And he said, I just keep reading until I come to a therefore. That is what the therefore is there for. So that as you read Colossians chapter 3, you see, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, and he continues on through verse 4, and then he comes to verse 5, and he begins the sentence with, therefore. Here is the doctrine. The doctrine is this. You, in your own heart, have been raised with Jesus Christ. You have been so identified with Jesus Christ, that is why you are a Christian right now. This is your position in Christ. Your position in Christ is one of identification. Paul says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. In verse 1, he says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Reminds me of the little boy who told his daddy, he said, Daddy, God must be left-handed. And his daddy said, well, son, why did you reach that conclusion? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is sitting on his right hand. Paul's point is that we have been so identified with Christ that we may be considered to be to have ascended into heaven with Christ, and where he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, we ourselves are seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your position in Christ. If you have your Bible, turn with me back to the Gospel of John real quickly. And look at John chapter 5, verse 24. It's one of the most important verses that give assurance of salvation to anybody who ever doubts that he is a Christian and who really is a Christian. I turn to it consistently to give assurance to others. This is what it says. Jesus is speaking. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Did you hear that? Did you get what is being said in this verse? It is describing what every believer's position is in Jesus Christ. On the one hand, it says, he who believes in me has eternal life, that is in the present, and shall not come into judgment, that is in the future, but has passed from death, that is the past. Did you get it? You see, if you are a Christian here this morning, then you have already gone through the threefold aspects of the judgment of God, and you have been positioned in Jesus Christ, and your position is one of being identified with Him in His ascension. This is your what is called spiritual resurrection. Look back in Philippians, for example, in chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. What is he talking about? Is he talking about the resurrection at the last day? No. He is talking about the spiritual resurrection that takes place every time someone is born of the Spirit of God. You do not have to wait to experience God's resurrection power until you die. For if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have already experienced a spiritual resurrection. And if you have experienced that resurrection, then you have, as it were, been so identified with Jesus Christ as to be positioned with Him in heaven. You are secure. You are identified with Him. There is nothing that can shake your position in Jesus Christ. It is like being adopted into God's family. Some of you may be adopted. Those of you who are know that if you are adopted, you are a part of the family. You are legally adopted. The only difference is when you are adopted into God's family, you cannot be unadopted. You are a part of the family of God and you will always be. Your position in Christ is secure. Consider yourself what Paul says. Consider yourself to be therefore dead to your old nature. Set your affections, your mind on things above and not on the earth. Verse 3. For you have died. How did you die? You have been so identified with Jesus Christ that when He was crucified upon the cross, you know what else happened? Your old nature. You were crucified with Him. Like the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Have you been crucified with Jesus Christ? Have you been so positioned in Him that you are identified with Him? That you can say, yes, I know exactly what you mean. That I am dying to the old man, the old nature, and I am beginning to set my affections and my mind on new things. You see, the Bible teaches that you and I are dead spiritually by the nature of what we are. Ephesians 2:1 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. No dead man can respond. No dead flesh can respond. And no dead individual spiritually can respond to God. It is impossible for you to respond. It is impossible to you to live until something has happened. And that something is when you have been brought to life by Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying in his doctrinal statement is this: you have died, Christian. You have died. Therefore, don't live like a dead man. But live like an individual who has been brought back from the dead. Can you imagine it? It was said that Jesus Christ broke up every funeral that He ever attended. And He did, because everyone ended in Jesus Christ bringing resurrection and life to the one who was dead. Can you imagine the family walking away, being miserable, sad, or just accepting it without being joyful and enthusiastic about someone, their loved one, being raised from the dead? You can't. In the same way, God says, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, you have been raised from the dead. Now listen, start living like a new person. An alive person and not a dead person. That is Paul's theological or doctrinal statement. He says, let your life begin to be consistent with your position in Christ. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died to yourself, to your old nature, and your life is hidden with Christ in God in heaven. Begin to live like that. That's what Paul is saying in his doctrinal statement. Now, exactly what does he mean? He comes to what he means in his application when he says, therefore, and that is our second division of our message this morning, since you have been raised from the dead, act like it. That's what Paul says in simple words. Look at verse 5. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. And then he says exactly what is involved in putting to death your members. What Paul is talking about now in verses 5 through 11 is an extension of the first part. Because firstly, we considered your position in Christ, and now we want to consider one's condition in Christ. You see, it is possible to be a Christian and yet not be in a condition of careful obedience to Christ. It is as if I took this book and I have a paper clip, and I could put the paper clip in the center of the book, and maybe this book represents my heart or your heart. And the paper clip represents Jesus Christ. Now, ordinarily, Christ would be in the center of your life, on the throne of your life. That is the position in Christ, is that Christ is in your heart. That is your position. And you're in Him. But on the other hand, many Christians, and dare we suggest it, that most Christians do not have Jesus Christ in the center. He is up here, or He is down here, or He is over here. He's not here. Then who is here? That's where self comes in. Either Jesus Christ is on the throne, or else you are on the throne of your own heart. Even if you are a Christian, and perhaps God forbid that some of us have made a profession of faith at some point in our lives and we thought that we were positioned in Christ, but it could be that the reason some of you do not have Christ at the center of your heart is because Christ is not even there. You thought you made a profession, but you never really surrendered yourself, and you never really surrendered your will to Jesus Christ. Well, for those of you who have, and yet whose condition in Christ is what Paul describes in this section. Look at what he says. How can you and I begin to act like a new person? A person who has been born of the Spirit of God. A person who has been brought back from the dead. Paul says in verses 5 through 9 and then in verse 10 that we ought to, in using the metaphor of a garment, he says in verse 5, to put to death. In verse 8, put off all these. In verse 9, put off the old man. In verse 10, put on the new man. Just as when you got up this morning, and on these chilly mornings in October, one of the first things that you reached for was a robe, or a sweater, or a shirt, and you put it around you. So Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new man. How do you do that? Look in verse 5. He says, put to death. The word there is the word from which we get our word mortify or mortification, which means to deaden. He says, put to death your members that are on earth. And then he specifies exactly the characteristics of a person who has been born of the Spirit of God and who is living a life obedient to Jesus Christ. He says, the first thing to put away out of your life is fornication. And many of the sins that are reflected here are sins of the flesh or sexual sins. Adulterous sins. Now, the word here does not mean necessarily an overt act, but what it means is any relationship that prostitutes an individual. Not necessarily an act, but any relationship that compromises the marital bond is constituting an adulterous relationship. That is an evidence that one needs to put to death the members that are on earth. Fornication and uncleanness and passion and evil desire and covetousness. Paul goes on, skip down to verse 8. He says, what can we do? Now you must also put off all these things. Anger. Are you angry with somebody? Are you hostile with somebody? Perhaps with another Christian right here in this fellowship today. Well, I want to tell you, it is just as easy to go to hell for being angry and unforgiving as it is for not believing. You and I are obligated. That's what it says. It is characteristic of a person who is unforgiving, a person who is basically an angry, hostile person. He needs to ask himself, have I been surrendered? Am I surrendered to Jesus Christ? Anger and wrath and malice, all of us at some time or other wrestle with these sins here. Anger, wrath, or malice. Sometimes we are not very happy to hear that so-and-so got a promotion or this person received X amount of dollars or this individual did well. We really don't want to hear it, and it saddens us to hear it. We harbor malice and we wish sometimes others ill will. Blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. I think some of you and some of us The first thing that a person needs to do when he becomes a Christian, and the most obvious thing, is that you begin to put away your impure thoughts and you begin to change the way that you talk. And that will be obvious to everybody. And I know of individuals in this sanctuary, and I'm not going to say who they are, but they wouldn't care if I said so, because they want to exalt Jesus Christ and not themselves. I know in my case, I could cuss. I could use profane language, filthy, vile language as well and probably better than anybody. But I want to tell you, when I became a Christian, that type of communication had to leave my life. Has it left your life yet? Or are you still struggling with it? How do you put off these things? How do you put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language, all of this kind of thing out of your mouth? Well, the first thing you can do is to cancel your subscription to Playboy. The second thing you can do is that you don't go over and read your neighbor's subscription. The third thing that you can do is you can take down your pinup girls. And the fourth thing you do is you can quit swapping dirty jokes with people or at the office. The fifth thing you do is you get a big black Bible and you take it to your office, or you have the courage to even put it in your locker, and you put it right on your desk at the office. Okay? And then when your boss or anybody else begins to tell you off-color jokes, or you begin to hear all of that filthy language that goes on, and I have been there, and I have worked there, and I have been around it too, then you ask them not to. And then the seventh thing that'll happen to you, or the sixth, is that you begin to witness to your boss or those people around you, or if it is your boss. And then the eighth thing that'll happen to you is that you'll get fired. And then the ninth thing that'll happen to you is that you say, "Hallelujah, you're free from all those associations anyway. And so you can get a better job." Some of us do need to make some drastic changes in our relationships, perhaps in who with whom you work, as well as your relationships of people that you're meeting socially and your friends. And you need to clean it up. And you know you need to clean it up. And you know that it's dragging you down, whether you are a teenager, whether you are a young boy or a young girl. You know that this relationship is not good for you, and you need to back away from it. Put off the old man, kill the old man, and put on the new man by setting your affection and your mind on things above. Verse 2, set your mind on things above. The word there, mind, means to meditate or to concentrate or to cogitate. You know, when the word cogitate suggests a cow out under an oak tree out in the pasture, chewing the cud, cogitate. God says to cogitate on spiritual things. Think about heavenly things, and instead of allowing the filth to get into you, let Jesus Christ get into that situation through you. If you have the courage to do it and to be His mouthpiece and to be His witness and to stand for what is right and good and true? Do you? I want to tell you, Gadsden, Alabama needs strong witnesses. The Bible says that God's eyes look over the earth and He looks for a man to stand in the gap. A man, a woman, a young person, a teenager who will stand in the gap between heaven and earth for Jesus Christ. Will you be that man? Will you be that woman? Will you be that young person? But will you start right now? Will you put off the old nature with all of its filth and uncleanness and all of its thoughts and its habits and its desires? And will you put on the new man created in Christ Jesus this morning? Will you put Him on? Some of you who are not Christians, I want to invite you, if you've never put on Jesus Christ, that you will put Him on right now. That you will open your heart, because if you try to change your behavior without first changing your heart, you're going to miss the mark. You'll never do it. But you need a heart change, and then you can have a behavior change. Will you put on Jesus Christ, those of you who are not believers, who are not really Christians, and you know that your position in Christ is questionable. And some of you who are Christians, your condition in Christ is lamentable. Let us, Christians, as a body and as a testimony to the community of Gadsden, Alabama, put on Jesus Christ that they may see in us the reality of that which we profess. Will you?